Welcome to the Troy Martinson Group Real Estate Podcast. Troy Martinson and the members of his group are licensed real estate agents in the state of Minnesota with the brokerage REMAX Results. They can be found online at sweethomeminnesota.com. Now, here is Troy Martinson.
Welcome to today's show. As always, in studio with me is Marshall Saunders with Minnesota Podcasting. How are you doing, Marshall?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Troy? Oh,
doing great. Beautiful sunny day in Minneapolis,
St. Paul.
It
really is beautiful, and sounds like it's going to get cold pretty soon, but it's pretty decent right now.
Let's take her one day at a time.
So I have an idea for this show.
Okay.
Maybe turning things around a bit. And instead of you being the awesome host that you are to so many guests that come
You're too kind.
Instead, I'll interview you a little bit because I'd like to know more about how you started off in the business, what your personal history is, the deepest, darkest secrets of your life.
I will tell all.
All right. That's what this is all about. But before we get started on all that gory detail, what's the market like right now? Are we getting more homes on the market or less?
We're down inventory still. That's been the case for a year or maybe 18 months now. We're down 14% right now.
Year over year?
Year over year, as of 18,
That's
October.
That's pretty amazing because last year we didn't have a lot of inventory, so this is even less.
I know, and that varies a little bit with price range. The higher you go up, it's not quite that low.
But, oh, okay.
But as the price goes up, the inventory comes up too.
Sure.
But the staggering stat that I ran across today was that the median sales price in the Twin Cities now is $300,000.
Wow!
Last year at this time was $285,000. So that's over 5%.
That's
tough, in 1 year.
I mean, I love to hear that as a homeowner. That sounds awesome, right? Yeah. That the prices are going up.
Yeah.
But it makes me worried because that means a lot of people can't buy homes.
Makes it tough.
We're seeing apartments go up all over the place, and it kind of makes me a little worried for the real estate market as a whole.
You kind of wonder how interest rates are going to affect that to even a point tick higher.
Yeah,
could change those payments for first-time home buyers. Or now again, that's median, so you're still going to be able to find a 220, something like that. But I think it's pretty tough to find something under 200 in the metro right now.
You know, a lot of people are talking about this R word, recession. And that's one of those situations where recessions aren't all bad, right? A little recession that might bring down that median home price.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Because then more people can buy. I mean, obviously, as a seller, I don't want it to, too crazy.
That's right.
I don't want too much opportunity out there. But, I guess whatever I sell, I got to also buy into.
Correct.
So,
It's kind of interesting. And I remember you saying this at one time, too, the buy and the sell kind of go up together.
Right.
So you go, well, geez, I'm getting so much for my house, but I'm paying so much for another one.
Right.
So with that recession, like you talk about, if and when. The sale comes down, but the purchase does too. So,
well, and you look at the millennial market, it's the largest home buying market out there. Not that they are home buyers.
They're not
all
buying
homes. A lot
of renters,
just a huge amount of population.
Correct.
And so you got so many first-time home buyers, they really get affected by that because they only get the bad part of prices being high. They don't get the good part of,
that's true.
Oh, that means I sold my home for a high amount of money too. So.
Right.
They just get one end of the
one end of the deal.
Difficult market. But,
that's right.
And then, of course, if it is a recession, people who are retiring, going into retirement homes or something like that, then they get burdened by, if prices go down, they don't get something good on the buy side either.
True.
So,
true.
It
really depends on where you are in life and what your goals are.
It all depends.
Yeah.
It's the only answer that's always correct.
That's right.
It all depends.
It all depends.
So let's get into you.
Okay.
Let's talk about you.
Are you sure you want to do this?
This might be kind of scary. How long have you been in real estate?
Since 1996.
1996. Okay.
So I think that's 23 years.
Yeah.
Quick math.
Yeah, that is 23 years.
Okay.
So
I don't look old enough for that.
I know. You started when you were four.
That's right. That's right.
So where were you born? Where did you start off in life?
Born in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Ah.
Yeah. Born and raised, and moved to the country when I was 6 years old.
Hmm.
little area right outside Eau Claire,
mm-hmm.
and grew up on 40 acres.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a country boy at heart.
Yeah, you seem so urbane.
Yeah,
you seem like a city slicker. But
there were many days as a child, I loved heavy metal.
Yeah.
So I loved all the all the heavy metal groups back then.
Sure.
And I always thought, one day I'm going to live in Minneapolis.
Sure.
That big place way far away, 100 miles away.
Right.
So, yeah, loved rock and roll, heavy metal, and kind of grew up on that, and started actually playing music.
Right. So you're a musician.
I am.
Is that your first and foremost love? Even before real estate?
No. I love real estate first.
Sure.
But anyway, started playing violin at six.
Really?
Yeah.
Violin.
My dad got me into the Suzuki violin course.
Sure.
And this was just something I didn't even have a choice because I was so young. I was just like, okay.
Right.
So learned music theory. When I was very, very young and became very good at the violin.
Really?
And by about age 12, I was playing classical and,
sure.
and mainly things like that, but loved heavy metal.
Right.
So put those two together.
Right.
So I'm listening to the Scorpions and Iron Maiden
and I'm playing Bach and Beethoven.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, it turns out some of my friends today are the same friends I met in that era of life who loved the same music.
Sure.
So we were all, rock and roll guys playing classical.
That's awesome.
As I got older, I realized the two aren't that different.
Right.
So, and these days, of course, rap is country, is pop, is,
right.
You fill in the blank.
Those lines of hip hop versus rap versus rock.
It's all gone.
I could not explain those differences.
That's right. So, grew up in the country, moved to the Twin Cities in the early 90s, moved here for music, had a few different ventures go for years and years, and got my real estate license right when I moved to the cities.
Okay.
I'd been doing a lot of construction and things like that.
Oh, really?
And I saw these realtors come in, and I'd talk to them, and I'd go...
If they can do that.
I know more than that. So that's kind of what got me into real estate. And really, really, as I spent time seeing more property, meeting more people, really started enjoying it more and more.
And music is still a huge part of your life.
It is.
Right? You play often.
It is. Yeah. Play at least once a month, if not more, at the church I go to.
Mm.
Have done several things all over the country over the last several years. And just music is a true love of mine, for sure.
That's really
cool.
And
you know me all too well.
Absolutely. I love it. And
yeah.
I have your CD in my car.
Yeah.
And also, how do you see music and real estate intertwining? I mean, how do you keep them? Do they have kind of an interrelationship, or do you just see them as totally separate things in your brain?
They're not separate. And I think, with your background, your personal life is your
right.
professional life in real estate. I mean, if you're in software sales or something else, it may not be that way. But especially for me, I mean, I meet new people every day. And you'd be surprised how many people, especially coming to Minneapolis, which is really a art and culture and music kind of melting pot. And a lot of people come here for that reason. The conversation goes over to music pretty quickly.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. And
well, think of your friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
How many, there are people that you don't know what they do for a living, but your friends on Facebook. Do
sure.
you know any people who are in real estate that you don't know are in real estate on Facebook, right?
No.
Because they're part of their personality is selling real estate, is putting their real estate offerings out there.
Correct. Yeah.
It's intertwined with your personal life.
It really is. And networking and just, and all that just goes hand in hand.
You know, you've experienced a lot of success with real estate and you're very well thought of in not only real estate circles, but I know your clientele is kind of raving fans of what you do. Is there something different about kind of the way that you market real estate or that you sell a home? Is there something critically different about the way you do it versus other real estate agents? What do you bring to the table that they don't?
Well, I think observing different situations and different, and everybody does things different and sure. not a right or a wrong way. But I think what I've learned over the years is to listen more than I talk. When I meet somebody, really figure out what's the goal here? Where are we trying to get? Is it the most money? Is it the quickest sale? Do you need to get into that school district? Those types of things. But when I'm going to sell a house, I think you hit it on the head, social media. I mean, you really have to, I mean, the MLS, which is the multiple listing service, but most realtors are going to be using that.
Right.
That can't be the end of it though.
Right.
I think there has to be a lot of networking, a lot of social media, a lot of video. Podcasting. I mean, mm-hmm. 5 years ago, I didn't even know what podcasting was.
Neither did I.
Right. And here we are.
Right.
So I think it's just, it's really a matter of adapting, learning, changing with the times and with the industry.
And I noticed, you know, on social media, I noticed you use, like you said, all medium. You're on video quite a bit.
Yeah.
And you're talking about your business, but also kind of tips and hints about real estate on video, and you produce those quite often, right?
I do, yeah. At least two a month. I try to put out, and you know, after 20 plus years, there's just a lot of information I feel like I can give to people, and if it helps them out, great. And if they want me to come in and, you know, check out their place and give them some ideas, that's great. It's interesting you mentioned video.
Yeah.
When the video thing started getting like, oh, you better get used to video. Sure. I was just sick to my stomach. I'd see myself on video and I'm like, I cannot do this. I don't care if I ever sell another house. I'm not. Right. And here I am and I'm doing it. And it's not bad. You just get used to it.
And there has to be something in you because you're able to get up on stage and sing. Which is terrifying to me. I mean, I can't imagine singing in front of a group of people.
Yeah.
And so there's a little part of you that at least has had that discipline to be, well, if I want to do this and if I want to get my music out there, I need to be in front of somebody.
Correct.
You know, it's one of those things. And
yeah.
I bet that helps you a little bit.
It does help. And I'll never forget the first time I got up in front of a crowd and I was 11 years old playing the bass guitar. And singing, and my buddies who are all over the country now are listening to this, they'll be giggling because they know what I'm talking about. I mean, you feel like you're going to faint. You're just hot from head to toe and scared to death. And then a couple songs go by and you're like, oh, this is fine.
Yeah, I'm a rock star now.
I can do this.
The real estate business is fascinating because there's such a difference between how sometimes the outside world perceives the real estate industry and how it actually happens.
Absolutely.
And I wonder, have you ever had a client that just, for whatever reason, you were just not a good personality fit?
Mm.
And do you feel like a personality fit is essential to helping a client?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I have had that happen. One of the craziest situations was a divorce situation where you've got two people who aren't communicating well, and then probably emotionally taxed anyway, and had Mr. Seller very upset about things that weren't necessarily my issues or my problems, but kind of let him dump on me, and then later found out that it was actually the ex-spouse that may have had a lot to do with that, but we closed the transaction and all was good. But I think as a real estate agent, you have to, you know, if you're going to work in those situations, you're going to get some of that.
Does it ever get so bad that you walk away, that you say, you know what, I just can't work with you?
23 years, I let one person go.
Wow.
And I just said, you know.
They must have been pretty bad.
It was pretty bad. I mean.
Do you want to name names at this point?
Yeah, we're going to go through I'll spell it for you. It got bad. And you know, some people just got to have things a certain way. And maybe I'm not the fit for them. But I think you've known me long enough. I can pretty much handle any personality.
You seem like such a nice guy. Have you ever worked with a seller that won't listen to reason or listen to, you know, how you're going to suggest pricing their home? That That's got to be a particularly frustrating situation.
It is. And I think it happens more often than people think it happens. I try to now later in my career where I know this happens, I try to kind of head it off at the pass.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say your home's worth $300,000. That's what all the comps come up at. And you want to put it on at $350,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously I want to work with you. I want your business. I want to be able to earn that trust in you. But Mr. Seller, you know, no homes in your neighborhood have sold for $350,000.
Mm-hmm.
What I'll do at that point is try to reason with them and get them at least closer to that $300,000 mark.
Sure.
If that doesn't happen, basically I take the black and white information and say, well, here we got a 285, we got a 289 and a 295,
mm-hmm.
and you want to be at 350.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to leave this with you and let you think about it,
right.
and soak this up. And then the next day, if they're still stuck on 350, we put a timeline on it.
Sure.
Because the market will tell the seller anyway,
right?
Okay. 30 days has gone by. We haven't had a showing.
Sure.
You know, we're 50,000 overpriced or 25 or whatever the numbers are.
Right.
I've really learned that people hear what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And if you give them something in black and white and say, this is, I'm providing you with the information and we can do whatever you want,
mm-hmm.
but this is the real information, right?
Right.
It's the black and white information of the situation. I find that people go, you know, you did tell me that, you left me with that. I do want to sell the house. Let's get into the area we should be.
And of course, you got to caution them. Hey, listen, you come off at 350.
Yeah. We're wasting.
You sit there on the market. Yeah. You sit there on the market. Now you're that overpriced house.
Yeah.
And, you know, lowering it to 325, even 310, is not going to regain those first lookers.
30 days. Yeah. And that's an extreme case.
Yeah.
For example. But it does happen.
Yeah, it might be more like 315.
Correct.
And those are the ones where you go, I don't.
But then you get the offer.
Yeah, right.
10 days in for $295.
Right. And you look like
what?
A dodo. He's like, yeah, you underpriced my house. So, you know, we talked about the millennial buyers, so mm-hmm. many millennial buyers out there, potential buyers. What advice would you give them about coming into the real estate market?
Boy, the same advice that I had when I was in my early 20s, and that's buy a house,
mm-hmm.
period. We've had many conversations about that. And look back to the early 90s where you could buy a house in Minneapolis or St. Paul for $20,000,
mm-hmm.
some houses for $9,000 or $10,000, and they're selling for $175,000 or $200,000,
right.
those same houses.
Right.
I wish I would have bought 50 of those. You know, we wouldn't be doing this podcast.
I always thought if I could go back in time, I'd buy a duplex.
Yeah.
And I'd live on one side and I'd rent out the other.
Yeah. Great idea.
And I'd wait about 4 or 5 years until I had some equity to borrow against that. And then I'd buy another duplex.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And it may not take 4 or 5 years
right.
even. And I think.
And
I
if
think
you move that, into it, you get owner financing. You
that's
know?
Right. So that's 3% down. Or,
right.
Yep. And I have a lot of millennials doing that. And it's just a great idea.
Smart. Put them on 15-year loans.
Yep.
You're not looking to make a fortune. You're working another job where you pay your bills.
Pay that down.
Yeah. But you just pay it down.
Yep.
You grow it and it's slow and it's boring. You got to fix people's toilets and you got to do some
work.
But
you're learning something and,
right.
you know, I mean.
And then when you're my age, you're 50.
Yeah.
You know, you got 20 or 30 properties that you own outright.
Yeah.
And you just live off that income.
Then you're just working for yourself.
Yeah. And then you can go podcast.
Yeah.
I wish I had all that property. Huh?
Oh, that is awesome. No, that's exactly right. I mean, I would say a duplex is definitely a good thing to do.
And they're out there.
They are.
A little bit pricier than they used to be. That's for sure, because they got some.
They are, but,
you know, investment potential.
But you mentioned recession, and I think that mm-hmm. that's the best of both worlds. I mean, because people got to have somewhere to live, so you're going to have a tenant.
Right.
You know, and then you've got your place and you're making half the payment because the renter's paying the other half.
Well, and you got to start with a good realtor.
That's right.
Call Troy.
One that knows the market.
That's right. Well, thanks for revealing all your inner secrets, Troy.
Well, yeah. You know, that was pretty difficult. Always good to see you, Marshall.
Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
This has been the Troy Martinson Group Real Estate Podcast. Troy and his group are licensed real estate agents in the state of Minnesota with the brokerage RE/MAX Results. You can find them online at sweethomeminnesota.com. This show has been produced by Minnesota Podcasting, and they can be found online at mnpodcasting.com. The views expressed on this show are those of the individual participants and may not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of RE/MAX Results or Minnesota Podcasting.